What I want to discuss today is, it has to do with a lot of what's been talked about already, the degree to which borrowing, allusion, interpolation, direct sampling, whatever you might want to call it in various forms that it takes, constitutes a very common practice in a lot of styles of music, but in particular the ones I want to look at are reggae and hip-hop. And the way that I want to do that is to follow one particular musical idea across a number of decades, across a number of genres, across the ocean, and to look at the different forms it takes. Jamaica provides a nice way to do this because of the way that the music industry has functioned since the 1960s, which is around the concept of the rhythm. And when I say rhythm, I'm employing the kind of Jamaican pronunciation of it in order to signify that it's more than simply the rhythmic components of something. Rhythm, like beat in hip-hop parlance, tends to refer to the entire backing track of a song. So pretty much everything sans vocals. It can include bass lines, it can include drum beats, it can include other kinds of instruments as well. Now, the rhythm system evolved out of the practice of competitive sound system performances, sound clashes in Jamaica, where the idea was on a local level to draw as many people to your dance by having special recordings. And the kind of origin of the special recording in Jamaica, interestingly enough, is of American R&B records, which were all the rage there in the 1950s, in which migrant workers and in a sense, A&R scouts were bringing back. And it's kind of an early example of the way that sounds were appropriated, if you will. Coxone Dodd, who ended up starting the Studio One label, and who we'll talk about a bunch today, was one of the premier sound system leaders in the 1950s. And his theme song, which he referred to as the Coxone Hop, was actually a record called Later for the Gator by an R&B musician named Willis Jackson. But what he did is he crossed off the record, crossed off the name on the record label and wrote Coxone Hop on it, and he very carefully guarded the identity of that record so as to prevent his competitors from getting it. Eventually he was scooped, and one of the strategies that these Jamaican sound system operators developed was to get into local recording so as to produce your own specials, your own originals, so that to some extent you can't be scooped. And what evolved out of that, though, is this practice around rhythms, where you might have a particular song that comes out and is very popular. And then that backing track becomes the basis for a number of other songs. It kind of evolved somewhat organically, where you would have somebody at a sound system dance. They would play a popular song, and then they would have also available an instrumental version of that song, so that after the song was played, or before the song was played, you could talk over the same music and engage the crowd and talk about, who the song was and who was the best sound system and go buy some beer and whatever else. After a while, these versions is what they call them, the instrumental sides, really take on a life of their own. So I'd like to spend today by tracing one of these rhythms. And the one I want to turn our attention to is variously referred to in a number of ways according to the most popular songs on it. But one of the names is the Mad Mad, which comes from a song by Alton Ellis recorded in 1967 called Mad Mad Mad. If you go to reggaerhythms.com and you search under rhythms for Mad Mad, you get a listing of 95 songs which have been recorded with the Mad Mad as their basis. Now, that doesn't mean that they're all over the same backing track, the same original recording of that backing track, because as I'll show today, over time, people have re-recorded it, recorded their own versions of it, and so forth. Now, 95, it doesn't stop at 95. I'd estimate that they're probably closer to somewhere between 300 and 500 songs that have been recorded or performed over the Mad Mad, because of course there's a large kind of underground economy in these things, white labels and specials that are done just for small sound systems all over the world. Not to mention uses outside of the reggae tradition, such as in hip-hop, which I'll get to in a minute. But when the Mad Mad kind of first cohered in this song in 1967, it already involves what we might hear as a lot of borrowing in its own right. I mean, the riff itself, the riff that most readily identifies the Mad Mad Rhythm, often played on guitar, sometimes played on horn, is a very simple riff that actually happens to be a three-note riff, not to put too much on that, but it goes da-dun-dun, da-da-dun. That's it. And that's one of the ways that we can kind of trace the movement of this musical idea. There are other things that identify it as well, the bass line, which implies a certain chord progression, to some extent other aspects of the arrangement. But when it came out, I mean, this riff itself, da-da-da, da-da-da, you know, it's fairly elementary in some ways as a riff. It's the kind of thing that if you were to look through the kind of oeuvre of blues songs, jazz songs, soul songs prior to 1967, you would find that riff in lots of places. You wouldn't find it necessarily being used in as prominent a way as in Mad, 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 but you would find it. It rolls off the fingers on a guitar, on a horn. I mean, it's a kind of sequential, melodic riff. Now, Mad, Mad, Mad is in the style known as rocksteady, which was a genre of music popular between 1966 and 1968, which comes out of ska, ska being kind of local Jamaican adaptation of the American R&B, which was very popular at the time, mixing in with other local traditions as well, and rocksteady kind of being a precursor to the reggae sound. So when I play Mad, 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 many of you will probably identify it with the reggae sound. It's got the, you know, these chords on the upbeat. It's got kind of a bubbly bass line. This was the point where the bass actually really started to assume prominence in a lot of Jamaican music. So let's give it a listen for a second to hear, get this riff in our ears. And then we'll follow it along a little further. Can I get some more volume? Where is that? I think my laptop is up as high as it can go, honestly. Is there? That's it. Here comes the riff again. So, just to get it in your ears, and that was recorded on Studio One Records, which was Coxo and Dodd's label, which really. In a sense, the body of work recorded at Studio One ended up as a kind of foundation of Jamaican popular music, which remains to this day. A lot of these so-called, in fact, foundational rhythms is how they're referred to. You know, have since their original recording provided the backing for, as I said, oftentimes hundreds of recordings each. The Mad Mad being one of the more popular, though there are other notable ones such as the Real Rock, the Stalag, and others. Now, over the course of the 1970s, you would have had generally the practice of what in Jamaica is called a DJ, which here we call a rapper, but because it evolved out of DJ practice, they still call them DJs there, which is the guy who would, in a sense, rap over, chant over, toast over, kind of declaim over whatever the musical backing would be, oftentimes for a local performance. So a lot of these weren't necessarily recorded, but suffice to say, the Mad Mad, you know, I think maintained a certain presence, audible presence, in Jamaican music throughout the 1970s as one of these common backing tracks, especially for live performance. Now, in the early 1980s, we get one of the first kind of important, I guess we might call it versions of the Mad Mad to occur. And by version, I mean that it was replayed, it was recreated in a certain way, but very clearly referring back to Mad Mad Mad. And one of the ways that we can hear it is in this riff, and the other is in the bass line. It was recorded by a producer named Henry Junjo Laws, employing a group called the Roots Radix, which were one of the premier Jamaican session bands in the late 70s and early 80s. And it supplied the backing for a number of hit songs. If we looked at our list here, and we look for the ones that were produced by Junjo Laws, we see a Coco Tea song, we see, let's see, Josie Wales. I mean, we could keep going. Some of the more prominent ones were, on the one hand, Diseases by Michigan and Smiley, and the Mad Mad is oftentimes referred to as the Diseases rhythm because it really put its stamp on there. And the other one was a song called Zunga Zung, or Zunga Zung Gunga Zunga Zang by Yellow Man. And this came out in 1982. It was a huge hit, not just in Jamaica, but also in London, in New York, in L.A., in various urban centers, in particular those connected to the Jamaican diaspora, where you could hear contemporary reggae. Daryl McDaniels, a.k.a. DMC of Run DMC, for instance, talks about going to places like the Latin Quarter, the Roxy, and hearing alongside the early hip-hop hits of the day, Yellow Man. Now, as you'll hear in Zunga Zung Gunga Zunga Zang, the rhythm here, although clearly tied to the Mad Mad, is also recognizably different. It's been really stripped down. It's a lot more minimal. It reflects, in lots of ways, the kind of production aesthetics in the early 1980s, which were very different from those in the 1960s, in the late 60s. I mean, one, because of the advent of various kinds of technologies, but also because of just various stylistic developments that had happened. So oftentimes people start to refer to this as the dancehall sound, early dancehall sound, also late dub would be another way to hear it. So it's a lot starker in a way. We have drums and bass and guitar and some occasional horns. But as you'll hear, again, we hear that familiar riff, that dun-dun-dun, da-da-dun. And if you can remember the bass line from the last song, we'll also hear the same bass line being played. So here is Zunga Zung on the relit version of the Mad Mad.
Well, you see, if this rhythm you have a patch, Yellow Man made it. And you say, after me done made it, me set it. Zungo, zungo, go, zungo, zen. Zungo, zungo, go, zungo, zen. Say, if you have a paper, you must have a pen. And if you have a start, you must have a end. Say, 5 + 5, it equal to 10. And if you have both, you put them in a pen. And if you have a rooster, you must have a hen. Now, zungo, zungo, go, zungo, zen. Zungo, zungo, go, zungo, zen. Jump fi happiness and jump fi joy. You know fi call Yellow Man no boy. Lady and they used to take fi tire. Where they
love them call. So obviously it sounds quite different from the Alton Ellis recording. You know fi call Yellow Man no boy. But in a second we'll hear that riff again. John no
boy. You know fi take higher knife fi boy. Zungo, zungo, go, zungo, zing. Watch it. Zungo, zungo, go, zungo, zing. Catch it. Zungo, zungo, go, zungo, zing. Cop. 00119.
Of course, we hear it very altered as well. I mean, we hear the same notes, but, one thing is you hear that kind of the sounds almost spinning out because, it's got that distinctive dub approach to echo, to delay on it. Now, when Junjo Laws had the Roots Radix reconstruct this, he didn't ask Coxon and Dodd's permission because at that point it was really common practice to take these rhythms and to do your own song over them. And in particular, this was even, I guess one might say, less egregious an example in that they weren't using the original version, but they were redoing it themselves. One of the kind of interesting things about Zunga Zung in particular is that we start to see yet another kind of musical idea that jumps off of it, that we can also trace in a similar way to see the way that other artists refer to it. And, you know, I should say here that, you know, this kind of allusion, this kind of reference to other songs within the reggae tradition is a very common part of reggae style. It's really a foundational part of reggae style, and a lot of it, again, has to do with this local context of being in a dance and signifying on your competitors, signifying on the world of pop music that the audience would be familiar with, and, you know, remains a real common practice today. Now, in a live version that Yellow Man recorded later that year and presumably performed widely at this time, he takes that melody that zunga zungunga zunga zang, zunga zungunga zunga zang, and, you know, so we can hear that as basically just an AA kind of form. And he turns it into more of an AB form where he sings the second phrase up higher. So it's zunga zungunga zunga zang, zunga zungunga zunga zang. And that little melody there, that little fragment, which, you know, I haven't been able to track a version of it down before Yellow Man, but I have a feeling that it probably, you know, it very well could be a Jamaican folk song melody. It could be from another pop song that I'm not aware of. I mean, Yellow Man was notorious and a great popularizer of what is now another common you know, approach in reggae music, which is to use these little snatches of pop melodies. Today they call it interpolation in the kind of in legalese. But it's a form of allusion. Oftentimes it's a form of ironic quotation. You know, he would borrow from everything from, you know, Jamaican folk melodies to, say, My Fair Lady. One of his big songs, I'm Getting Married in the Morning, you know, very clearly, you know, references My Fair Lady. And that song also has an interesting story around it in that he recorded his own counteraction tune to it. Now, the counteraction tune is another example in Jamaican musical practice where we can see the use of kind of borrowed materials as having a function and also being a common thing, where if there's a popular song recorded, oftentimes you'll have another artist to come out that, you know, very explicitly riffs on that common song, usually in order to make fun of the original, you know, artist who recorded it, and therefore promote, you know, the new artist, in order to save himself the trouble of having to be counteracted. Yellow Man recorded his own counteraction tune to "I'm Getting Married in the Morning," which was "I'm Getting Divorced in the Evening," which used the same melody once again. But this zunga 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 zang, as I was saying, he kind of gives it a different fitting. So let me play the live version for a second so you can hear the slight alteration of the melody, which is the form in which we will then trace it into some other songs. Okay. Now, a few years later, another Jamaican dancehall performer, a guy named Supercat, who actually did quite a bit of his recording in New York, and therefore was perhaps as involved in the New York transmission of some of these ideas as Yellow Man was, if not more, clearly references the Zunga Zunga Zung melody, although over a different rhythm. Though once again, I should note that the rhythm that underlies his song Boops, in particular, the bass line, refers back to, yet again, one of these foundational rhythms from the late 60s, Feels Like Jumping by Marcia Griffiths, very similar also to Toots and the Maytals, 5446, That's My Number. So you might recognize the bass line here. But again, listen for the melodic fragment and the way that references the Yellow Man. Just put up your one eye if you have your boobs, see. Put up your one eye if you have your boobs, see. So, fairly obvious use of it. Now, just the next year, the Bronx-based group Boogie Down Productions recorded a real seminal hip-hop album and what many consider the first shot fired in the gangster rap revolution, Criminal Minded. And, you know, quite interesting, especially considering its seminal status in hip-hop, in the hip-hop, you know, canon, if you will, not to canonize, but it really is quite a touchstone in lots of ways as hip-hop goes. Criminal Minded is an intensely Jamaican-sounding album. I mean, in almost every song, KRS-One makes reference to contemporary Jamaican melodies, to previous Jamaican melodies, and in the case of this song, Remix for P is Free, they actually sample the Mad Mad. And this is different from the previous version in that here we are getting into the age of digital sampling. So we're getting into what is, you know, an exact copy as opposed to the reversioned version. Now, I'm not actually sure which version of the MADMAD they choose to sample for this. They decide to once again take that recognizable guitar riff. But another interesting thing about it is that they reference also the Zunga Zung melody. So we start to see the way that also the MADMAD riff starts to travel alongside the Zunga Zung melody. But it's another way of tracing these things. Now, in referencing these materials, I think we can hear Boogie Down Productions making this kind of connection to the Caribbean, and in particular to the West Indian heritage that KRS-One really, really claimed in order to stake himself out a position in the mid-80s New York rap world. Though, I should note, in order to represent the Bronx, and in particular the South Bronx, as this kind of, you know, this site for hip-hop. So it really kind of speaks to the degree to which New York was becoming a very Caribbean place at this point. So let's listen to Remix for P is Free for a second, see if we can hear both the MADMAD riff in there as well as the Zunga Zung melody.
Live and direct, Boogie Down Productions is live!
So that's it right there. It's a fragment of it, but we can still hear that.
Why da da gang?
Yeah.
They're kind of rapidly triggering it there.
BGP. BGP.
Teasing it a bit. Now that melody, for instance, is referring to a reggae song.
Yes, y'all are rockin' on your real hip-hop.
That melody also from another reggae song.
357, you'll be real hip-hop.
But let me skip ahead to the Zunga Zung melody for a second.
Yes, y'all are rockin' on your real hip-hop.
That's it.
Zunga Zung, Zunga Zung, Zunga Zung.
And now this ends up being interesting in a number of ways. Because Criminal Minded is so seminal, KRS-One essentially takes all of these reggae references and, you know, more or less inserts them into the hip-hop lexicon. Especially for the number of listeners who wouldn't have recognized these allusions, which I would say like outside of the, you know, Caribbean community in New York is probably the majority of listeners. They hear these things now as hip hop phrases, as part of the hip hop vocabulary, so that we see a few years later, Black Star. Also kind of representing Brooklyn and in particular a kind of Caribbean take on it. We see the red, gold, and green colors of Rastafari, of Marcus Garvey as well. I mean, Black Star, an obvious reference to Marcus Garvey. They in 1998 did what is, you know, can basically be heard as an homage to the Boogie Down Productions song that samples the MADMAD. And the interesting thing about the homage is rather than going back and sampling some other version of the MADMAD, they sample the sample in the Boogie Down Productions version. So it's very embedded in a way. We even hear occasional snatches of KRS-One's voice and so forth. And I should note that I don't think there were any suits filed. In fact, in all of the stuff that we'll hear today, there hasn't been any kind of legal action, I think, because it's recognized that this is kind of common practice. But see, again, if you can hear the the references both to the MADMAD rhythm as well as the Zunga Zung melody.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Recording live from somewhere.
Lord of mercy, all night and listen to. Follow me now. Listen, say hi, take your share, rolling hip hop. Say Jay Rolls, just your rolling hip hop. Redefinition, say you're rolling hip hop. Say Black Soul, come to rock it up.
From the first to the last of it, delivery is passionate. The whole and not the half of it, forecasting aftermath of it. Projectile and I'm blasting what? Accurate assassin shit. Me and Polly close like Bethlehem and Nazareth. After this, you'll be...
So you can hear it in there, I assume, once again. And, of course, he borrows the same melody that KRS-One borrowed as well, which refers both to Yellow Man and probably to Supercat as well. I'm using these lines to try to indicate what I hear as maybe, you know, direct allusions, especially with the unbroken lines, and with the dotted lines to indicate things that I think are probably likely connections. I think it's likely that growing up in Brooklyn, Mos Def and Talib Kweli would have been, you know, familiar with both Supercat and Yellow Man, though the reference here is clearly to Boogie Down Productions primarily. Now, just to follow the Zunga Zung lineage a little bit further, we had in 1995 a recording by Junior Mafia featuring the notorious B.I.G., who also is of Jamaican parentage, in fact, referring once again to this, but in a way that, you know, starts to get a little bit further away from its original source. The connection is still there, and I think, again, the connection is communicating this larger articulation of, you know, a diasporic community. But you'll hear the way it starts to get further away, the way we can start to hear, I think, the way that some of these original ideas, these ideas from Jamaica, start to get absorbed into the hip-hop lexicon in such a way that they assume a certain distance from the originals, so to speak.
Grab your dick if you love hip-hop. Rub your titties if you love Big Papa. Gotcha. Open off the words I say because.
So again, this da 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 da. Now, just 2 years ago, Joe Budden had a pop hit with the song Pump It Up, which, again, refers to that same melody, though, you know, in an even more kind of buried sort of way, subtle kind of way, fragmentary sort of way. And perhaps, as I indicate with the line, he's only referring to the notorious B.I.G.'s version. I'm not really sure to what extent he's familiar with the earlier versions. And this is interesting to me as a musicologist, just in terms of looking at the way that certain ideas change in meanings as they get tossed around from performer to performer. So again, see if you can hear this Zunga Zung melody.
Hello, you think, let me do my thing.
I mean,
do your thing, let me do my thing. Move that thing, mommy, move that thing.
Come on.
Move that thing, mommy, move that thing.
Hustle,
do your thing, let me do my thing.
Please tell the DJ.
Pump it up.
So again, I think you can hear that in there. The other version that I wanted to call your attention to was recorded last year by Chinese-American rapper Jin in his song Learn Chinese, which is a really kind of interesting mix of sonic signifiers, both signifying kind of Easternness or you know, in a kind of Orientalist way, as well as Caribbean-ness, unmistakably. And one of the things that he does in particular, actually in this song for the chorus, is to take a Yellow Man song, a Yellow Man song called Mr. Chin, which basically a kind of racist stereotype about Chinese shop owners in Jamaica, and he kind of resignifies that so that it's Mr. Jin. But you know, he even has some backup singers take the Chinese melody that Yellow Man sang, Oolong Shang Long Shang Long Pai, Shang Long Shang Long Pai, you know, this kind of you know, almost Three Stooges like you know, nonsense syllables that's supposed to, you know, evoke Chineseness, and has his backup singers, you know, re-sing that in such a way as to kind of appropriate it for his own kind of more positive projection of a Chinese identity. Now, I don't want to get into all that, but I do, in the course of this, want to gesture at just the depth of these kinds of borrowings and the way that they're resignified, the way that they take on new meanings, and the function that they serve in musical expression. But I want to at least, you know, show, the Zunga Zung melody popping up in this song, and once again, the way that we start to hear it even more distant from the, you know, what we can maybe hear as its original formulation.
Me, I'm Mr. Jin, just doing my thing, just doing my thing, just doing my thing. Trying so go to my teal jet mode. Why is there beef everywhere I go? I'm drunk spewing, can't we all get along? My ladies with the thongs, thugs with the firearms. Y'all gon' learn Chinese.
All the ghetto.
Y'all gon' learn Chinese.
All the suffering.
Y'all gon' learn Chinese.
Yeah. Those glitchy elements are not actually part of the composition. So you wouldn't always necessarily know that. I guess the last example that I'd like to play, and of course this is just a smattering. I mean, the Mad Mad version was also reversioned in Jamaica by several other producers. There have been versions throughout the 80s and 90s, and in fact the Jamaican music industry is seemingly starting to come into another cycle where it really looks to its past and decides to reversion these classic rhythms, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see another Mad Mad before long. The most recent version is interesting because it comes from Puerto Rico, and it comes from an artist named Tego Calderon, who these days is referred to as a reggaeton artist. You know, reggaeton is this term that has gained a lot of currency. He was a hip-hop artist before he decided to embrace reggaeton style, which has, I think, largely, you know, really projected him into mainstream American markets. But, you know, reggaeton, before it was called reggaeton, which is, you know, in the last few years, was called Spanish reggae. And Spanish reggae has an interesting story. The origins are, you know, kind of up to debate, but I think at least one significant source is the Jamaicans living in Panama. I mean, really third or fourth generation Jamaicans living in Panama, whose grandparents or great-grandparents moved to Panama in the late 19th century or early 20th century to work on the canal and ended up settling on the coast of Panama, maintaining some connections to Jamaica, but also adopting Spanish, adopting local customs, and so forth. And what you started to see in the 1980s, and especially in the early 90s, was Panamanian artists taking contemporary reggae songs and doing their own Spanish language versions of them, and oftentimes in a very explicit way. So, for instance, if we listen to El General's Putun Tun, we can hear that he's not only singing the same melody and essentially translating the same lyrics as Little Lenny's Punani Tegareg, but he's also singing them over the very same backing track. So just for reference, here's Putun Tun.
Pues quiero que le digas a tu amigas que el rey del pum pum acaba de llegar y nadie lo puede parar. So llora, porque llegó el general. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me bang, mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me bang, mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me bang, mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me bang, mata el pues. Tu pum pum, no me puede matar. Ay, mamacita, porque soy un general, digo que jala pa'lante, digo jala pa'tras. Tu pum pum, digo se.
Okay, so that's the Spanish version, and this is the version that came out the previous year from Jamaica.
Now go and tell your friend that the one and only Punani Guinea girl come again. Oh God, phenomenal one. Oh, see pum pum, nani nani woulda kill me dead pum pum.
So anyway, I think you can hear that they're very related. The last version that I want to play for you is Tego Calderon's Bonsai, which, interestingly enough, both samples the Mad Mad, so samples a version of the Mad Mad anew, which is actually different than some of these hip-hop versions we're looking at, but at the same time overlays the same drum beat, not verbatim, meaning not sampled from BDP, but the same drum beat that it was used by Boogie Down Productions and used by Black Star. It's being replayed, reprogrammed, but it's got the same essential rhythmic features, which you can tell mostly by the snare pattern. That thing. But what it demonstrates is an engagement from Puerto Rico with both Jamaican reggae and American hip-hop that is, I think, really kind of characteristic of reggaeton and its hybrid kind of sound. So, another version of this kind of thing. And, of course, by embracing these styles, Tego Calderon is able to articulate an Afro-Puerto Rican identity, which is an interesting thing, considering Puerto Rico's race and class issues and so forth. Once again, we can hear a certain functionality, a certain meaning to these borrowings. I'll close with Bonsai. Interesting things about that too is that he says hey hey hey, which was the same chorus that Alton Ellis sang back in 1967. Hey 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 you, Which for me is really interesting because nobody else really explicitly is referencing that Alton Ellis. I'm not sure that Tego is either, or it's just a coincidence. But I mean, you know, it's really layered, all this allusion and so forth. I'm told that we're pretty much out of time, but I hope that I've been somewhat able to provide this kind of audible illustration of the way that borrowing, that interpolation, that allusion, that this kind of referencing stands as a sort of foundational and common practice in both reggae and hip-hop, though I don't think that these styles, although very explicit in their foregrounding of these kind of practices, are unique in that. And I think we could tell similar stories in lots of other styles of music. So thank you for your time. Hey.